Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you to this program of study, this recording that we're going to have today. We're going to start into a new question. We've been in the study of study number 17, the letter Q in our ABC study, and it's entitled Questions Often Asked. And we've been studying quite a few subjects, mostly having to do with children, but every bit of what does the Bible say. And we've been taking these questions and asking them and asking the Word of God what is the answer to these questions. And the Bible has not yet missed answering the questions and leaving us at peace and having a confident answer that we can live by and that we can rest in our final authority, the Word of God, and know what God says about these questions. Now, I don't think any of us have been confused. Perhaps some of you might have questions already that you want to refer and ask me, and that's fine. Just get them to me, and I'll look in my Bible, and if you have something that I need correcting on, go ahead and send it to me. I'm not scared of that. I want to believe the truth, and I want what God says. But we're going to get into a new question today that I mentioned last week. So far in our questions, we've began this study, and we decided that we was going to be very careful, and we studied some things to keep in mind concerning asking God's Word questions. Now, God's Word is our final authority. The Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So things to keep in mind when it comes to asking God's word questions. Then we went into our question asking and began that with what happens to infants and little children if they die. And we talked about that and found some interesting things, but nevertheless, facts, not what we think, not what somebody else thinks, not what we think we want it to think, or somebody thinks they want to think it this way, or assume or presume. We found out what the Bible says. A lot of times the Bible teaches us by giving us evidence of what the subject is of, not necessarily saying thou shalt not smoke, but the Bible gives us lots of evidence in the scriptures of God's mind concerning what smoking affects. Okay, and that's the way that we have seen in the scripture so far concerning what happens to infants and little children if they die. We've seen some pictures and seen some facts in the Word of God that have shown us in with other people and the people that God chose to put in His eternal Word and talk about that little children go to heaven when they die, and then. What is the age of accountability? And we studied that, and we studied evidence in the scripture of what we should believe concerning what's the age of accountability, that accountability does come about for every child, but nobody can put a finger on it and tell a date and a time. It's different with every child, and it's between them and the Lord. And as soon as that it's not a question of whether or not that child's going to sin, it's a question of when it realizes that it has sinned and that it has sinned against God and God's law. And then it becomes accountable to the Lord and it needs to have a Savior. So what is the age of accountability we studied? Then we went right on into is abortion right or wrong? Interesting study. But I think there was no doubt at all in that study, at least not with me. You might still have some questions and doubt and everything else. As long as it's in the scriptures, bring it on. bring it on. We'll hash it out, and we'll find out what the Word of God says about it, and we'll honor the Lord through all of our discussion, and that's what we'll do. But we're not going to get into no nonsense arguments about some superficial questions that have absolutely nothing to do except a bunch of pride raised up or something like that. That's not how we're going to study in this. And if that's something you're interested in, go find somebody else to argue with, respectfully. Is abortion right and wrong? There was no question about any of that, folks. Come on. We went through that scripture just as much as we could and read it over and over and over and understood it, and I wasn't ever confused, and nor were you. We ask about the women, we ask about the children, we ask about what God thought about abortion, what he thought about children in the womb, what he thought about the souls that are in the children that are in the womb. They got no feet to stand on talking about tissues and cells and blah-bitty-blob like that. It's for whole different reasons, and we also talked about the women and the nonsense that goes on with the thinking that's behind trying to find a license and an excuse that's acceptable to kill a child. Apparently it must be working or something, you know, with a bunch of people that are in charge and make the laws and everything, because they sure have convinced them to kill over 1 million of them a year, you know. And isn't it a good thing that the Lord has provided for man's stupidity and ignorance, that those children don't have to suffer in eternity because of that? What a wonderful and merciful God we have. Now we're going into this new one, and this is going to be an interesting study. And let me forewarn you concerning this. If you have any children that are listening, you need to make a decision there. And within the first couple programs that we're going to have or recordings we're going to have concerning this question, you probably wouldn't have any problem with any of them listening in. But as soon as we start into the serious part of or all of it serious, but when we get out of that, the etymology, the word study of this, we're going to go into some history of this word. And what we're talking about is, the question is, what about sexes, sexual love, and sexual perversion? Now, right away, that title and that question right there should not bring about any perverted thoughts in a Christian's mind. In a true Christian's mind, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. And if a Christian's really trying to serve the Lord and be acceptable and pleasing to the Lord, then they're cleansing their mind. They're cleansing their mind. I didn't say it was easy, and it's not easy. And this wicked and corrupted and defiled and filthy world out there, they're putting pictures and images in front of everybody and trying to always keep your mind full of filth. And I challenge anybody that thinks Christianity is a joke. I challenge anybody to take on Christianity. Anybody. They think it's so easy and so whatever it is that they, you know, Christianity. Come on, buddy, show us what you got. Show us what Christianity is all about. And we'll just give you one enemy instead of the three that we have to fight all the time. We have to fight the flesh, the world, and the devil. We'll just give you one. How about the flesh? Just go try to fight that flesh, and we'll just let you fight it for a week. Just try to do what the Bible says concerning fighting the flesh for a week and see how you come out without God the Holy Ghost to help you. And God's strength. Let me tell you something. God is real, and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is real. And God the Holy Ghost that dwells in the children of God, the body of Christ, the saved, is real. And if it wasn't for His strength, we would be, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Right? But we won't get too far into that. Just people running their pie holes and ain't got no better sense. What about sex, sexual love, and sexual perversion? Now, the beginning of this program right here we're doing right this very minute, and probably the next one, I would caution you to listen to it first and see if it's acceptable to for your children. It's truth, and nothing perverted or ignorant about it. It's truth, but what we're going to do is we're going to find out where this word sex come from. Because in society today, the word sex, only ears it raises is lust and filth and nastiness and ungodliness. It has people have absolutely no idea where the word sex come from or the meaning of the word sex. I'll go ahead and tell you now that the meaning of sex today, if you ask 100 people, say you're smart college kids or you're smart professors or all these people that don't know what they're the ones that don't know what they're talking about. Ask 100 of them and see what your answer is. What does sex mean? Just ask them that and see if it comes out to what anybody can study at any time and find out what the history of the word is and where it come from. Now, that's what we're going to do. We're going to start out like that, but we're going to get into some pretty serious stuff when the word starts changing and becoming perverted. And there's going to be some material in there I'm going to share with you to show you how it progressed through the years, and mostly between the late 1800s up till now, and where the word was and where the word has ended up today. I don't have to tell you where it ended up. You know where it ended up. But Christians ought to be thinking, this will show you a progressive perversion concerning a word that is used every day on the television, on the billboards, on probably in conversations that you hear daily, how filthy it has become. But we are after truth, and that's what we're gonna do. But this study right here, this question right here, we're gonna probably go through 3, 4, maybe even 5 recordings to get it done, because there's a lot of material that we're going to study in it, and it'll be interesting to you, but it will break it down that the way that the Bible says. And when we're finished with this question, you're going to know what sex means. You're going to know what the sexes mean. You're going to know what sexual love is. You're going to know what sexual perversion is. Okay? According to what saith the Lord. And that's what we want to know. This is not in any way intended to be perverted like your Playboy and Hustler and all your filthy magazines that they show little children over the counters in every store now, or maybe even put them out by the potato chips. You know, I've seen them out there like that. But anyway, nothing like that. But there will be some material in it that some of you adults might want to decide and let God the Holy Ghost lead you and give you wisdom concerning your children if you have them listening to this, okay? All right, I left off 2 scriptures from our last recording, like I did the one prior to that. I guess I need to have somebody here to slap me right at the end of this to help me to remember to give you the scriptures. That's the most important. But there are 2 scriptures I failed to give you to finish up and to wrap up that last question, is abortion right or wrong? The first one is 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through 27. And all you serious students of the Bible probably have already searched this out and found it, and you could give them to me. I mean, I appreciate you so much and how you're studying God's Word, and you just don't know how special that is that you would take time and honor the Lord and honor His Word. And don't you think that it's vanity or that the Lord doesn't notice that, because both of those are absolutely false. God does notice it, and He appreciates it, and He says that He'll honor you in return. The second one is Exodus chapter 21, verse 22 through 25. 22 through 25. Okay, so let's go ahead and begin. What about sexes? Sexual love and sexual perversion. What about it? Well, in order for us to properly address this question with what the Bible says, we need to know what the word sex, in parentheses, S-E-X, we need to know what the word sex really means, don't you think? I mean, most Christians, and I'm not talking about the filth of the world and the ungodly and the wicked that don't care and they just go in the way of the world and the world's way of thinking. I'm talking about Christianity. I'm talking about Bible believers. We need to find out what the word sex really means, don't you think? Do you know what the word sex means? It's important for us to know that. There are all sorts of definitions of this word. Some of them so far off in left field, it's ridiculous. If someone asked you this question, what does sex mean? How would you reply? Do you know? It's okay if you don't. Most people don't. Most people do not know where this word comes from. I didn't. When I started putting this study together and added this question used to be just about one perversion and whether it was right or wrong. And the Lord led me to go ahead and break this thing down and get all the material in it. And I didn't know. I didn't even know. There's some interesting stuff in this thing. You know, most people in this society of 2019, which is 2020 now, but 2019 when this study was put together, shy away from answering it, the question that we was talking about, what does sex mean? Most people in society shy away from answering it or answer it with a red face or in a humorous, perverted manner. Is this the Bible word? Is sex a Bible word? Is sex written in the Bible? Most people living today, when defining the word, think of fornication, adultery, prostitution, homosexuality, lesbianism, reason for Friday and Saturday nights, or some other perverted act that is short-lived and lust-driven of the flesh. Now, we're going to address these things later, that all the things that we just talked about, fornication and adultery and prostitution and all these things. We're going to address these throughout this question, but not now. But these things are not what the Holy Ghost in the Scripture speaks of when it is speaking of the matter of sex. Prostitution, homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, fornication, and all these things have been in the Bible, and God's talked about them forever. But as far as it getting under the word of sex, it was not always under the word sex. Fornication was not at one time was not referred to under the word sex. They weren't even in comparison. They didn't mean anything in comparison. Adultery was not having to do with anything having to do with sex. Prostitution did not have anything to do with sex. Homosexuality did not have anything to do with sex. Now, the Scriptures talk about all these perversions and talk about all these things, but they were not under the word sex. Now, remember, we're talking about a word right now. A word, not an action, not a display, not anything that's defined in sex having to do with anything in the world today. We're talking about a word. We're trying to find out what does the word mean and where did it come from. Now, first of all, the word sex and any form of the word is not found in any way, shape, or form in God's word. It's not there. So to say that you're going to find out and study what God thinks and says about sex is a vain pursuit because it does not exist in the definition of today's perverted, does not exist in the definition of today's perverted society. What the word sex means in this perverted society today, in this ungodly society today, does not exist in the Scriptures. God doesn't ever talk about sex. But the Lord did participate in sex. Now, he participated in what the definition began with, having to do with sex. Now, see, you're having trouble with that one already, but you'll see exactly what I mean when we get into studying the etymology of this thing, which is going to be just a minute. Now, you say, well, why does the topic say sexes, or the question say sexes, sexual love, and sexual perversion? Well, that's a good and fair question, and you're going to understand it, and it'll make complete sense to you by what we're going to study. And when you find out where the word began and where it ended up. Now, let's just stop right here and do a little word study and about this three-letter word of sex that's so... If somebody took a poll and asked 100 people in society, just randomly picked them, and said, give me the top 10 words of the world today. The most important top 10 words in society today. I guarantee you that sex would be right there in the top 10, if not the top 3. That's the top 3 gods of America anyway. There's money, sex, and education. That's the top 3 gods of America that are worshipped today. But if you took a poll about it, sex would have absolutely nothing to do where the word sex originated. And most people would not have any idea about where it originated. Now, maybe you already know all this stuff and you're sitting there and you know it. Then you know exactly what I'm saying. Even when I said the Lord had to do with sex in the beginning, you knew exactly what I was talking about. Now, the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're foolishness unto him. But we know what the Lord talks about because it's spiritual. Now, we will apply the truth we get to God's Word and see what we are really studying. So let's go. Let's do this, or begin it. Now, the root word. You always want to go back to the root, and I'm not no etymology expert, and I don't know. Matter of fact, I didn't even know what etymology, how to say etymology, and I've said it 4 or 5 times here. That's probably more than I've said it in my entire life. I just say word study. Word study. Studying words to see where words come from and what words meant in the past and how they've translated. You can understand that, how words change. Words change. 100, 200 years ago, there's some words that mean absolutely not the same thing that they meant 200 years ago in the English language. So we go back to the root. Now, remember, we're studying the word sex. We've not even got into the study of sexes, sexual love, and sexual perversion. We've asked the question, but the first thing we're doing is going to answer where the root come from, or where the root is, where the word come from. So sex. The root of it started with a language called Tamil, T-A-M-I-L. It was a Dravidian language from South India and Sri Lanka. The word started out being spelled S-E-K-U, Seku. And the meaning of that word, Seku, refers to a division. It means dividing of something into parts. It means the action or an instance of cutting or separating by cutting. Didn't have nothing to do with any perverted man or woman, or man and man, or woman and woman. Nothing, absolutely nothing to do with it. The root word come from Tamil, a Dravidian language from southern India and Sri Lanka, is called Seku. And it meant to divide. dividing of something into parts. The action of or an instant of cutting or separating by cutting. Now, let me throw one piece of scripture in there that's interesting concerning this word, and you'll see what I'm talking about and what I meant by the Lord participating in it. Now, seku is the root word for sex, and we're going to see how it laid out through history and how it changed only four or five languages until it got to us. But in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 2, we see where the Lord made Adam. And then the Lord put Adam to sleep, and he made the woman. Okay? Listen what it says. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. So he actually cut Adam open, took a rib out, and then closed up the flesh instead thereof. Remember the root word? Language, Tamil, a Dravidian language, southern India and Sri Lanka, seku. And what's it mean? It means a division, a dividing of something into parts. It means the action or an instance of cutting or separating by cutting. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto Adam. And what did Adam say? Listen to what Adam said. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Sex. Seku. Division, dividing, cutting, or separating by cutting. Are you getting this? In the scriptures where man come from, God made him. And God sexed Adam and divided Adam. He sekued him. He divided Adam and took a rib out of him and made somebody else. There was a division there, a dividing, a cutting or separating by cutting. The Lord did that. It's in the scripture. It's right there. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones." Well, if she was bone of his bones and she was a separate entity, a separate person standing there, then his bones have been divided by cutting and separating, a division, a dividing. Adam, the Lord, sexed Adam and made a division and made a woman. He said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Why? Because she was taken out of man. She was divided from a man. She was separated by cutting from a man. Seku. That's the root word for sex. It means dividing or to sex something, to divide it, to make a division. And that's where the word started. And then that word moved into the old French language, and it was called sex, but it was spelled S-E-X-E. And then from there, it went into Latin language. And it was called sexum, S-E-X-U-M, or sexus, S-E-X-U-S. And it came from the word sec, S-E-C. And what this word meant in the Latin was the same thing. It went through two languages to the Latin, and it was still meant to cut or to compare a section or to dissect, to segment. The original meaning was division. We just went through that, which shifted to a way of dividing something in half. And thus to the division between men and women. The biological sex how God took Adam and sexed him and made a man and made a woman. He divided them. He made a difference in them. He sexed them. He sexed Adam. Are you getting this? It means a division. It means a way of dividing something in half. And it was referred to in the Latin whenever somebody was making a statement or bringing this word into, it was used in the language as the division between men and women. There's nothing perverted in anything that we've been talking about yet. Nothing. All it meant was the division that God made in cutting Adam and making a woman and dividing Adam into two. The division between men and women, the biological sex. The Lord split them and biologically made two and divided them. And then from the Latin language, it went into the late Middle English. And that is where the word turned into sex. S-E-X. But the meaning of that in the Middle English, denoted the two categories. It meant whenever you said sex, you were talking about one of two, you were talking about two categories, male and female. Either of the main divisions. When you said sex in the Middle English, you were talking about the main divisions, male and female, into which living things are placed on the basis of their reproductive functions. Nothing perverted in any of that. Sex, secu, sexum, sexus, division, dividing, cutting or separating by cutting, went into division and a way of dividing something in half. The division between men and women, biological sex, biological division, biological cutting, biological separating, had absolutely nothing to do with anything perverted. Then it went into the Middle English, where it turned into the word that we use today, sex. But the meaning of it had absolutely nothing to do with what that word means today. Denoting the two categories, male and female. The word sex, when it began in the Middle English, the late Middle English, it meant male or female, either of the main divisions, male and female, into which living things are placed. So the word sex referred to living things and the division biologically of where something is placed on the basis of their reproductive functions. In other words, when somebody in the late Middle English would refer to sex, they would be talking about either a male or a female, depending on what their reproductive functions were. Nothing filthy about it. It was just, is this a woman or is this a man? Which part of the main division is this sex? How has this one been sexed, into a male or into a female? Are you getting this? And then from the late Middle English, which it stayed in, around the, we're going to jump from there, and there are some words, there are words that evolved from the same root word of sex, S-E-X. Now, keep your mind where we are right now. We're studying the word sex, and we have not got into anything perverted whatsoever. The word sex means what? It means division, a dividing, a cutting, a separating by cutting. In other words, Adam was sexed into Adam and Eve. And one of them was a man, and one of them was a woman. And God did it. Now, the word that comes from the same root word, there's a couple words. One of them is section, sector, seconds, secant, segment, and segregate. You see the similarity in all them words? To divide, to separate, to make divisions. Segment means each of the parts into which something is or may be divided. Section means any of the more or less distinct parts into which something is or may be divided, or from which it is made up. This section was sexed off of this section. You see that? The word sex had absolutely nothing to do with any kind of fornication, adultery, homosexuality, any kind of perverted, ungodly bestiality, any kind of ungodly mess that it's involved with today. It did not start that way. It never was intended to be that way. It, through history, went in gradually perverted and went from purity to perversion. Now, that's the root makeup of the word sex. And like I said before, in these studies here, if you want these printed out, we go right down through the pages of this study, and I can give you these pages, and it's got all of this stuff on it, and you can go right down through it along with these recordings if you like, or you can just study it yourself. I mean, it's there, and you can go right down through it. So, we have found out what the root word of sex means and how it got from where the root word, which was seku, which started in southern India and Sri Lanka, and it progressed through the old French and to the Latin into the Middle English, and when it got to the Middle English, it ended up being the word sex, which had absolutely nothing perverted to do with it. Matter of fact, it kept the same meaning as the root word and didn't even change hardly. It brought the male and the female more into it, and it was referred to on the basis of their reproductive functions, where they fall in the reproductive process. Nothing filthy about that at all. The Lord's the one that put that together. He sexed Adam into two different beings and separated them reproductively so that he could, when he told them to be fruitful and multiply, they could. But there wasn't anything filthy or ungodly about it, not at all. The word didn't come from any filth. The word was pure. Now, this is where the word came from in its purity. And then, that's where we're going to start. And we're going to find out what the meaning of sex from its purity, what we just talked about, to its perversion. And how it got so stinking perverted from where it was before. Just talking about being divided. Now, we've read scripture today concerning the root word of sex. And everything I said about God having to do with sex is absolutely true. The word's not in the Bible, but he did sex Adam. He divided him. He cut him and he separated him and made Eve. Pretty simple after you find out all that stuff, isn't it? It was a pure word. It was used pure. And nobody was ashamed of it. Nobody blushed. Nobody thought any ungodly thoughts and wicked things having to do with it. It never was. It didn't mean anything pornographic. It was a pure word that had to do with the divisions of what God had done with Adam and made the man and the woman. Period. And then, late in the 14th century, things changed. And we go down through the 14th century to the 1500s, the 1600s, the 1700s and 1800s, and to the early 1900s when things really got wound up. And then it come on down and we run into a man, an individual. And we're going to talk about him. And then after him, we come up to the present day of the 2000. We go through the 1940s, 50s, 59, 66, and we're going to follow this and go piece by piece and watch how this word sex, begins to pervert, become perverted, and who has to do with it and who was responsible for it. And we know who's initially responsible for perverting things, and that's the enemy, the devil. But man had a lot to do with it, and the flesh got into it, and the world got into it, and boy, did they make a mess of it. And then we're going to end up in 2019 and going to show you where that word and what it means now. Okay? So we're going to stop right there. I didn't give you much scripture today. As a matter of fact, I did give you Genesis there. And that was Genesis chapter 2, right in there, about three verses there. But next recording, we're going to start come off of the root meaning of it, and we're going to go from the meaning of sex, from its purity, to perversion. And we're going to break it down and run through the years of history and see how this word changed. Okay? So we're going to stop right there. Thank you for listening. Interesting stuff, isn't it? But true. And I told you that we was going to be talking about this stuff, but you see how what I meant about when you first hear the word sex and sexual and hear the word sexual love and sexual perversion, you think, oh, this is going to be nasty. Not if you know where the word come from. It meant dividing. Division, cutting or separating by cutting. And then we Christians can take that word and go right to Genesis with it and see exactly what happened. But when we begin our next recording, you're going to see how man and the enemy took this word and made a mess of it. And that's where it ended up today. So we'll start that on our next recording, and I thank you for listening, and God bless you, and we're going to find out more about this thing, and when we're done with it, you're going to know exactly what it means, and you might know more than this study already, but at least you'll be reinforced with it, and we're going to bring a lot of scripture into it. And that's what we want. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day or evening. And we'll talk about this more later. Bye-bye.